Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Joining us now, Ken Klukowski, legal editor with Breitbart News, general counsel with the American Civil Rights Union. Good to have you with us this morning, Ken, because we have a list of new nominees for federal courts across the land that are put out by the White House now. Tell us what's in this and should we be excited?
Well, it's great to be with you, Brian. Thank you. And in the long story short on the judges is yes. If you care about constitutional conservatives on the federal bench, if you care about originalists, to use the lawyer's term, and that means a judge who believes that the Constitution or any written law, whether it's a statute, a regulation, any of those things, that no matter what the written document is that carries legal force, that a judge's obligation is to always apply to those words their original public meaning that you discover by studying the text, the history, the structure of the document, and then that you set aside your politics, you set aside your own policy preferences or your personal likes and dislikes, and you just faithfully apply that meaning to the facts of the case. If that's what you want, then what President Trump did yesterday in nominating this slate of new federal judges is an absolute home run, and it fulfills, I think, one of his most central campaign promises to the American
and
people.
This is something that President Bush had done as well. He named 11 appeals court judges in one shot, and one of those was John Roberts, who was one of the names on that. Now, what is the process from here? He nominated them. Great. Are we going to see them all sitting on the bench?
Oh, good morning, Mary. And, well, the president had already nominated one, Amul Tapar, to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. It looks like Judge Tapar should be confirmed perhaps in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So now that we're making all of these nominations this week, the Senate Judiciary Committee has pledged that they're going to move expeditiously on this. And now, thanks to Harry Reid, and I'll tell you, Senate Republicans, in fact, all of the American people, they need to send the most beautiful thank you note to former Senator Harry Reid of Nevada.
Yes, we do.
Because having pushed the Senate into the situation of invoking the nuclear option, which he did for all lower court nominees, and that's what these are, now it just simply takes a simple majority to confirm nominees to the federal bench, which, you know, that was the tradition, by the way, for 200 years. It was Democrats who changed that starting in 2003, but that's the way it was from 1789 until 2003. Now that we're back to that pattern, I believe we're going to see a quick, efficient confirmation process, one that dots all the I's and crosses the T's, doesn't cut corners. But I would think we could see confirmations in the next 60 to 90 days.
Well, and that is it. Really, the sort of the exciting thing about this is that ostensibly they've taken a little while to vet this group. They've done the background checks. Nothing comes up that causes any problems in the confirmation process before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it goes to the floor, and it should sail right through, even if it's all in a party line vote with most of these guys. That means a real impact on the judiciary. Now, does it ever do anything to address the nutty ninth?
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, right now there are three federal appeals courts that are leaning pretty strongly to the left: the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit,
right,
but also the Fourth Circuit and the D.C. Circuit. I'd say all three of them are kind of tied. It's a three-way tie, kind of on the left of center orientation of the bench. Right now, none of these nominees from this week are for the Ninth Circuit, but I believe there are four vacancies on the Ninth Circuit. I would expect we're going to see those in the coming weeks. But I know there are three open seats on the Fifth Circuit. There were three on the Sixth Circuit. Now you have nominees for each of those three on the Sixth. So I would expect over the next 6 months, you're going to see more nominees rolling out for all the vacancies on the federal court. There are none right now on the Fourth or D.C. Circuits. But over time, vacancies are going to occur, and is with President Trump continuing to keep this campaign promise, you're going to see a steady march back to constitutional fidelity for America's federal courts at all levels.
Now, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals is where the case is currently being held, started yesterday, regarding President Trump's executive order with that travel ban from those six countries that is being reheard because of the stay that was imposed by a Maryland judge. Now, that is no longer a traditionally conservative court. What is happening in that courtroom?
Well, that's right. The Fourth Circuit is now, depending on how you define it and draw the line, it's anywhere from a 10 to 5 to 12 to 3 liberal to conservative mix, again, depending on the issue and how people define or characterize certain judges. By the Fourth Circuit took an extremely unusual move in this case. You know, federal appeals, and there are tens of thousands of them every year, are heard by three judge panels. Less than one case in 100 is reheard en banc, meaning all the judges on the court hear it. In this case, the Fourth Circuit didn't rehear the case en banc. They granted an initial hearing, the first and only hearing, en banc before all 15 judges, and they did it on their own. No one petitioned them for it. They did what's called a sua sponte vote to go en banc. This is just extraordinarily unusual. And given the current composition of the Fourth Circuit, it's a real steep uphill climb for the administration in the Fourth Circuit. It's likely that the only relief the administration could get for that case, which is Executive Order 13780, would be if they could get it to the U.S. Supreme Court on an expedited basis. The law is on President Trump's
side. Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Are you among those who believe, as many do, that when we finally get to a discussion of the law, the president prevails?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, this lawsuit it shouldn't even be there. There's no what we call Article III standing. None of the plaintiffs here even have standing to bring this lawsuit, so it should be thrown out for lack of jurisdiction. But even if you get past all of those threshold issues, the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, which is the only thing that the lower court invalidated the order on, issued its injunction on, the Establishment Clause does not apply to people trying to enter the United States. And
right.
That's perfectly clear under controlling Supreme Court precedent, Kleindienst versus Mandel, that as long as you have a facially valid order, courts are not to look beyond that. So they should not have reached the merits of this case, but if they do, the president wins on the law here. He just needs to get it in front of the right judges to give him the ruling that the Constitution entitles him to.
Ken Klukowski, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Brian, Mary, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.